Shikandvasi Mukunda and his son Raghunandan were the 39th branch of the tree. Narahari was the 40th. Chiranjeeva was the 41st. And Sulochan the 42nd. They were all big branches of the all-merciful tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They distributed the fruits and flowers of love of Godhead anywhere and everywhere. Please repeat. Shikandvasi Mukunda and his son Raghunandan were the 39th branch of the tree. Narahari was the 40th. Chiranjeev the 41st. And Sulochan the 42nd. They were all big branches of the all-merciful tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They distributed the fruits and flowers of love of Godhead anywhere and everywhere. Purport. Shri Mukunda Dasa was the son of Narayana Dasa and the eldest brother of Narahari Sakar. His second brother's name was Madhava Dasa and his son was named Raghunandan Dasa. Descendants of Raghunandan Dasa still live 4 miles west of Katwa in a village named Shikanda, where Raghunandan Dasa used to live. Raghunandan had one son named Kanai, who had 2 sons, Madhava Rai, who was a disciple of Narahari Thakur, and Vamsivadan. It is estimated that at least 400 men descended in this dynasty. All their names are recorded in the village known as Shikanda. In the Gaura Ganadesha Dipika, it is stated that the gopi, whose name was Brindadevi, became Mukunda Dasa, lived in Shikanda village, and was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His wonderful devotion and love for Krishna were described in the Madhya Lila, chapter 15. It is stated in the Bhakti Ratnakara, chapter 8, that Raghunandan used to serve the deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narahari Das Sakar was a very famous devotee. Lochan Das Thakur, the celebrated author of Chaitanya Mangala, was his disciple. In Chaitanya Mangala, it is stated that Sri Gadadhar Das and Narahari Sakar were extremely dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but there is no specific statement regarding the inhabitants of the village of Shikanda. Chiranjeev and Sulochan were both residents of Shikanda, where their descendants are still living. Of Chiranjeev's 2 sons, the elder, Ramachandra Kaviraj, was a disciple of Srinivasacharya and an intimate associate of Narottam Das Thakur. The younger son was Govinda Das Kaviraj, the famous Vaishnav poet. Chiranjeeva's wife was Sunandan, and his father-in-law was Damodar Sen Kaviraj. Chiranjeev previously lived in the bank of the Ganges River in the village of Kumara Rangara. The Gaura Ganadesha Dipika, verse 207, states that he was formerly Chandrika in Vrindavan. Shikandvasi Mukunda and his son Raghunandan were the 39th branch of the tree. Narahari was the 40th, Chiranjeev the 41st, and Sulochan the 42nd. They were all big branches of the all-merciful tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They distributed the fruits and flowers of love of Godhead anywhere and everywhere. Om Jnana Tivarandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshumitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Deva Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivin. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, here in the beginning of Adi, then Krishnadas Gauriraj Goswami, he has established already the principles of Mahaprabhu's advent, why Mahaprabhu has come. And then those specific persons then who are coming after the Panchatattva to establish Mahaprabhu's mission. And then we see here now all these verses, lists and lists of devotees' names, and sometimes as devotees in the 21st century wondering, so it's nice, sounds good, you know, and there's some nice stories here. So what does this mean for us? These are nice names. It's just like sometimes when we have these sections in the Bhagavatam, where they have the list of the dynasties. Just like when you hear the list of the dynasties of Prajapati Daksha, then you start to wonder, okay, You know, how am I supposed to deal with this? Just like if you look in the back of the Bhagavatam, one of the, I think it's one of the appendices of most of the cantos, then there has the genealogy of Lord Krishna coming all the way down. So when we're looking at this family tree, then we're wondering to ourselves, okay, so what does this relate to my life? How does this work in my practice of Krishna consciousness? I can understand these pastimes, I can read these pastimes, I can marvel at the wonder of these pastimes, but how do I capture the essence of the principle of reading these names, hearing about these personalities? So we have to first understand the pool of mercy that we are here in. Just like, for example, if you have a tree, what does a tree need in order for it to flourish? It needs water, right? Very good. And what is that water that is nourishing the tree of our kripa? What is that water? It is only Mahaprabhu's mercy. It is only that mercy that is coming from the parampara with which we can actually water our tree, our bhakti lata. Now, if there are certain sections of the tree, if you look at any tree or any plant, that die off. Now, why did they die off? Perhaps because there's some disease, or perhaps there's some trauma, or perhaps because that specific section of the tree didn't actually want to take the water, didn't want to take the mercy. So then what does the tree do? The tree focuses on other areas where the mercy can be taken. So this is what happens in our spiritual life. That we're here, we're standing in this pool of mercy. We're here. We have so much precedence before us. These personalities standing here before, mentioned in this book, for us to actually understand that if we want to be mentioned, because everyone's looking for fame, no? Even as Hare Krishna, sometimes we want to look for that fame. Oh Prabhu, you led a nice kirtan. Oh Prabhu, you gave a nice class. Oh Prabhu, this, that, or the other, or Mataji. Whatever it is, we're looking for some position. So even if we want to take advantage of that position, we have to first know how to absorb the nectar. So now here, we have these three personalities. And it's described in Madhya 15 about these personalities. So what happened is that the pastimes of the Lord in Puri. And so then the pastimes have finished, Rath Yatra is finished, and the Lord is saying goodbye to all of these wonderful Vaishnavas. And there's beautiful descriptions of how the Lord personally, this is something very interesting. Yeah? Just like when we greet devotees, we're also very nice, very warming to but also when devotees leave, we should also be warm. We should also give praise. We should also give thanks for their association. This is what Mahaprabhu was doing. Person after person, he was giving personal realizations of his personal relationship. So, when he first saw Mukunda Das, the first thing he said to him is, who is older? You or Raghunandan? I'm confused. So, we may think, oh, what does this mean? So this is a principle that Mahaprabhu was bringing out, that the Acharyas bring out also. We see that in the Bhagavatam, about real age. See, what happened was that Raghunandan, who is Mukunda's son, was looking after the family deity. And so Mukunda, who is Mukunda Das? He is the physician. He was the royal physician. So it's not some small-time person. He was the royal physician. And so he had to go out. And so then he told Raghunandan, you please serve these deities. So you feed the deities, and you have to make sure that Krishna eats. Now of course, Raghunandan being young, being innocent, he's offering the bhoga to the Lord, and then he's thinking to himself, well, why is the Lord not coming to eat? So then he becomes in anxiety, so much anxiety, thinking, you know, how impure am I? That the Lord, my father has given me an instruction, such a simple instruction, just feed the deities, and the deity is not able to eat. So then what does he do? He comes with a stick. Of course, now we won't do this to Gokulananda because we're not in that position. But he comes with a stick, and then he says to, I forget the deity's name. You remember with them? I forget the names of the deities. And they're still, I think, still worshipped as far as I know. And so then Krishna comes. Because of so much love. Raghunandan, so much love. And so then Mukunda is coming back home, and then he's thinking, because that is the culture then, is that whatever you cook is offered to the deities. You don't cook anything else separate. So whatever is offered to the deities, that you take. So then Mukunda is wondering, okay, so where is the prasad? Just like sometimes, you know, in the pujari department, sometimes the Mahaprasadam disappears before it even makes it out of the pujari department. And then the devotees are waiting, wondering, what's happened? Where is it all gone? And Mukunda Das is in that anxiety, thinking, okay, you know, what's happening here? Then he asks Raghunandan, what did you do? Did you eat it, something? And Raghunandan, no. Krishna. And so Mukunda couldn't believe it. His initial reaction was he couldn't believe that this happened. So what happened was, is that next time Raghunandan offered, then Mukunda was hiding behind the curtain, and then he saw. So Mahaprabhu was asking the question to Mukunda, who is older? And Mukunda said, my son is older to me. So how does that work? How is the son older to the father? It only works from spiritual understanding. Just like there was a time when Markandeya Rishi, so Markandeya Rishi, he's the personality that we understand in the Bhagavatam. He was asking the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how to understand Maya, how to understand your material energy. So it's that whole pastime of, you know, him being tossed in the waters of devastation and the Lord just sitting on a banyan tree, sucking his toe. That's Markandeya Rishi. So he's been around for a long time. He's been around for days of Lord Brahma. He's one of the oldest personalities in our Shastra. So then Parashara Muni. So Parashara Muni is the father of Vyasadeva. So he was 9 years old at that time. So Markandeya is sitting on the Vyasasan, and he's giving class. And then he stands up. Because generally the etiquette is that if someone senior is walking in, you stand up. So then everyone's facing the Vyasasan, and Markandeya is standing up. So everyone's thinking, so who must have come? It must be only a handful of persons that Markandeya Rishi would stand up for. Like Shiva, Narada, Brahma, like that. And so then they're seeing this 9-year-old boy who's walking through, and everyone's completely bewildered. They're wondering, you know, why is Markandeya Rishi standing up for this 9-year-old boy? And then Markandeya says, no, you should sit and speak. And then Parashara Muni says, you know, how can I speak in front of you? And then Markandeya Rishi, he turns around and he says, no, in your 9 years, you have been more Krishna conscious than in my time since time immemorial. That is real age. So maturity is only there if one's relationship with Krishna is flourishing. That is only maturity. Any other maturity in terms of years of chanting your Hare Krishna, you know, that's there. But what year you got initiated, if you got initiated, you know, where you are in the pecking order in the ashram, it doesn't matter. It's your realization in the heart. And so that's what Mahaprabhu was bringing out, and that principle is what is the realization in the heart? So then Mukunda is saying that, no, Raghunandan, he is the one who showed me bhakti. Because Mukunda was, you know, not sure. You know, is, you know, the Lord really going to take? Of course it's pastime. But we see that through that pastime, then Mukunda Dasa was understanding the position that he was in. Now we have to understand the position that Mukunda Dasa was in. So Mukunda Dasa being the royal physician, so he was there one time with the Nawab. And so then someone started fanning the Nawab with a peacock fan. And so then Mukunda Dasa, Mukunda Dasa seeing that peacock fan, immediately when he saw the peacock fan, he thought of Krishna. And then he fainted. And so the Nawab is thinking, okay, what's going on here? What's happened to the royal physician? Of course, because the Nawab, being in a position, then you're always thinking of fear. Back in those days, then, you know, just like if you read the history of jolly old England's monarchy, then there's always someone trying to poison someone, kill someone. So that he would actually have people testing his food. So then he's thinking, okay, what's happened to this Mukunda Das? You know, why is he fainted? Who's put? And then he understands, you know, no, he's actually gone into ecstasy. So that's Mukunda's position, that whatever he's seeing is reminding him of the Lord. So these are the personalities that are being discussed. And so then there's father, son, and then there's the brother, Narahari. So we sing Narahari's name every evening. Narahari, Adikuri, Chamara, Dulaya. So in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sandhya Aarti, he's describing the wonderful aarti going on to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and he's saying that Narahari is there, waving the chamara. That was his service to Mahaprabhu. Also, Narahari is known as Madhumati. So he is described as that person who is like a pot of honey. So what happened one time is that Nityananda Prabhu, of course, Lord Nityananda being, whenever he is around, he's always harassing. He's always giving harassment to everyone and anyone. Harassing Haridas Thakur, harassing Sabhabhuma Bhattacharya, harassing Advaita Acharya. So then he goes to Shikanda, and then he sees Narahari, and he says, there is pots of water. And he says, Narahari, I know you have some honey somewhere. And Nityananda, he was Balaram, no? So he's partial to honey. Of course, we like that as well, because then on Balaram Purnima, then we can get drunk, no, in Varuni, right? Technically, legally. So Nityananda Maharsha, he is described that he's asking, where's the honey? And Narahari, through his devotion, he just touches the pot, and then the pot becomes honey. This is Narahari. So these are the personalities that are being described here. This is our lineage. And what's it a lineage of? It's not a lineage through seminal line, just like before, the seminal line of lineage. But what happens is that as the age goes, then the potency... No, this is a line through siksha. That's our line. Our line is through siksha. And if we take that siksha to our heart, we apply it in our life, then we will become noteworthy. And why should we become noteworthy? Because otherwise, how are we taking advantage of the mercy that's being presented for us every day? The mercy of being able to see the deities, the mercy of being able to be part of this mission, the mercy of being able to actually see things differently. That's rare. To actually be able to see something differently is rare. Everyone's seeing everything exactly the same. Just like the other day, I was speaking to one of my colleagues, and she was telling about her life. And she's based in Romania. And she was saying that since she was young, her brother had diabetes. And so she's been having to look after him. Her mother has been in and out of hospital. And just recently she had a brain tumor removed from her head. And so she is complete anxiety. And then when she got the results for her mother's tumor, it just came up as something very little. And so she's thinking, oh, great, everything's wonderful. Oh, thank God. Not thinking, now, how should I take my life seriously? Because they have no idea of how to take life seriously. How to actually value life. They can only value life through the senses. So as practicing devotees, we have to be careful not to just value Krishna consciousness through the senses. Because it's easy to do that. Just like yesterday, we had the good fortune to be in the association of His Holiness Indaduma Maharaj. And so when you're in the association of such personalities, that's just a sensual overload. You sit there in front of these personalities and they just ooze bhakti. And you can just sit there and you can just kind of bask, you know. It's just like when the sun's out, and then you think, oh, the sun's out. Yeah, let me run out and let me just bask in the sun. You can just sit there and you can bask in their purity. And it's almost as if you can become actually overly selfish. that I'm here. I have the opportunity to have association with this personality. What am I doing? As opposed to, what can I get? How many of us are actually thinking that? When we're sitting here, we're taking the darshan. Sosaiko was asking Shruti Dharma Prabhu today that, you know, this is looks like one of the old addresses. You see in the old addresses, they used more sequins and like that. The design back in those days. Classic. Of course, the must be like in green, because yesterday he was also in green. But it's just like we have this opportunity to see them every day. Every day we have the opportunity to see them. Every day we have the opportunity to read about these pastimes. But what does it mean to us? We hear about these pastimes, we hear about these personalities, and what does it mean? It means they have taken the message of Mahaprabhu and they've applied it in their life. And what is the difference here? We have three personalities, and what was Mahaprabhu's instruction to these three personalities? To Mukunda Das, he told him to continue to work, to maintain your family. To Narahari, his brother, what did he tell him to do? Go out and preach. And to Raghunandan, what did he tell him to do? Stay at home and serve the deities. You wanted to say that? Oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I beat you to the punch. Next time, okay? I promise. These personalities. Now, three personalities, three different instructions. Yet when we see different instructions, when we hear different instructions, our head goes to a million. How can I deal with so much contradiction and controversy? You know, can't everyone be straightforward? I remember one time we were in Mayapur, and there was some devotees coming from one of the temples. I think it was maybe in Russia or in Hungary. The pujaris, and they were coming to speak to Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj about puja. And serious question that he was asking. Oh, Maharaj, you know, how can we have unity in our movement if there's so much differences in standard? And Maharaj said, so what is the difference? What's the difficulty? Well, I don't know, I don't understand. In some places you ring the bell with your hand down, and in some places you ring the bell with your arm up. Which is the correct way to do it? And Maharaj says, what does it matter? Just ring the bell. Why do we ring the bell? Why do we ring the bell? Because it's described in Shastra that the bell contains all sound. All sound is emanating from that bell. So when we're ringing the bell, then it's through that medium that we're making the announcement to the Lord. Now, Lord, you please take this. And this is, everything is personal. Here, the Lord is dealing with these personalities personally, individually. And what do? They don't just sit on the instruction. Just like many times we sit on the instruction. Just like yesterday, one Mataji, she was making reading an offering to Maharaj, and she was saying how one time she was in Vrindavan and she was praying to the Lord. Interesting prayer, it was quite funny. She was praying to the Lord, Lord, I'm not quite ready for taking Krishna consciousness seriously, so don't bring a spiritual master to me just yet. A very interesting way to pray to Krishna. Don't give me too much mercy right now. And what happened? 48 hours afterwards, when she came back to the UK, what happened? She heard a class of an Indadu Maharaj, and bang! A spiritual master was revealed to her heart. So no matter how you try and run from the Supreme Personality of God, He'll catch you. Now, what do you want to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about this pool of mercy that we have available to us? This nectar that's available to us? Are we going to be selfish and not take advantage of it and give it to others? Or are we going to be selfless and understand how we have to purify our heart, how we have to purify our consciousness in order to maximize the process within ourselves and help deliver it to others? That means that there's personal application. There's personal association. There's personal guidance. Everything about Krishna consciousness is personal. So here, we have Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami He's unpacking the whole reason. Just like we understand when we read something. Normally then you have the backstory, and then you have the main story, and then you have the end story. So what's the backstory? So here we have the backstory. The internal reasons, the external reasons for Mahaprabhu's appearance day. Appearance. And then all of the personalities that are coming after. And then now what's going to be the main story? The main story is going to be how they perform their pastimes in association with Mahaprabhu. And how the Lord, being so perfect, He puts the position of His devotee above Himself. But only those persons who know how to take the mercy. Those persons who don't know how to take the mercy, what happens? They have to be corrected. And if they don't get it corrected, then what happens? Then? And we see that. In this Leela, in Gaura Leela, only do we have this opportunity. In Krishna Leela, it's pretty cut and dry. You make a mistake, like a demon, then, you know, Krishna is going to take care of you. In Gaura Leela, you make a mistake, Mahaprabhu, through the compassion, there's always some adjustment. He's always helping the adjustment. Because He understands what is the difficulty of this day and age. Now we have here this understanding that how can I adjust my spiritual life such that I can maximize this? I can actually nourish myself from learning about these personalities, and how can I apply this to my life? That means that one has to absorb oneself in the pastimes. In order to absorb oneself in the pastime, what must one do? Think less of oneself. Therefore, humility is important. Because if you're always thinking about yourself and where you stand and where you fit into the whole picture, you will not access anything. Nothing will come to you. Because if it's just about you, where is the opportunity for relationship? Just like, for example, if you have a friendship, those of you who have friendships, huh? In that friendship, if you're with a friend, and that friend is always thinking about themselves, how much can you give to them? How much can you give? It's very difficult for you to give anything. No? Just like if I was discussing with Prabhuji here. What's your name, Prabhu? Nikhil. Okay. Nikhil Prabhu. Oh, Nikhil Prabhu, do you know, by the way, nice to meet you, Prabhu. Oh, do you know who I am? Did you hear the other day, I gave class at Bhaktivedanta. Yeah, what did you think about it? Oh, you liked it. Oh, did you? Oh, yeah. What point did you like? Oh, why did you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're a really nice person. I really like to get to know you. Because it's about me. So we come to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We come to Mahaprabhu about me, thinking what's the Lord going to do for me, without thinking, okay, now I have the opportunity to come to Him. Prabhupada has given me the opportunity to come to Him. Now what can I do? So I have the opportunity to have your association. Prabhupada has given me the opportunity to take association of a devotee. Now what am I going to do about that? We don't see it that way. We see it in the external. And the difficulty is when we see something in the external, then we miss the whole point completely. So here, these personalities, they understand the internal mood of the Lord. Therefore, when they take the instruction, if it's different, they take it to their heart and they apply it. Without question. And they fulfill it perfectly. It's described that these persons, just these three persons, they delivered the whole village of Srikanda. The whole village. As Prabhupada is making that point in his purport. A whole village. That's not a small thing. And we have to also understand that at that time in Bengal at that time, we have to understand what was the philosophical position. There was the Smartas, there was the Mayavadis. It was a whole mess. And yet these personalities of God, just taking the instructions of the Lord to the heart, delivered the village. Just like Maharaj was mentioning on Friday, when he was coming here, he was saying, you know, how he gets nostalgia when coming here. It's an interesting point that these six persons he was mentioning, the Grihasthas, just by taking Prabhupada's instruction to heart, we're sitting here. So now what are we going to do about it? Now what are we going to do? It's easy to just sit here and bask in the glory of, you know, it's just like Dayal Baladev was telling me just before class, he was saying, yeah, you know, I'm so lucky I can tell my friends I live in a mansion. Yeah, so we're living in a, you know, you tell your friend, where do you live? I'll give you the postal address. You can search it up, you know, look at my house. Look at what I've got, you know. But if we don't maintain, and not only maintain, but if we don't expand, then what happens? The mercy doesn't flow in the heart. If the mercy doesn't flow in the heart, then we become dry. And when we become dry, what happens? Is weaknesses come, criticism comes. Just like recently, we've been seeing, recently, and this tendency for devotees to jump on social media to air their opinion on something or other. Social media is not a place to air opinions. If you want to air an opinion, then have a discussion with like-minded sadhus. Nowadays, with the modern technology, everything can be done like that. So what happens is we don't think. We make a statement, and then we want to stir some sort of discussion. But what happens is that there's no moderation in that discussion. So everyone is then just allowed to express whatever opinion they want to. But the difficulty with that is if there's no moderation, there's no control, there's no siddhanta. If there's no siddhanta established, then there's no framework. If there's no framework, no one can establish relationship. The reason we have framework is so that we can establish relationship. The reason we have such strict standards when we go and do puja to the on the altar is so that relationship can be established. It's so that the Lord knows, here's someone who knows how to deal with me properly. The reason why the Lord has established framework here with these personalities, when He's discussing so many things, is so that He's just appreciating them. And this is Mahaprabhu. This is the mercy of Mahaprabhu. How He actually appreciates others because they have taken, because we have to understand the chapter before this, then the Lord is talking about how He is the tree. He is the tree. But not only is He the tree, He is the person who is also distributing the fruits of the tree. And then what is His proclamation? What is His plea? That I'm limited. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is He limited? I'm limited. I need people to help me distribute these fruits. But not only distribute these fruits, know how to taste the fruit. Because there's two things that have to be there. One has to know how to taste in order to distribute. If one isn't tasting, how can one distribute? It doesn't maintain. One cannot maintain that. These personalities, they are tasting. Therefore, they can apply the instruction, they can distribute. And both are happening at the same time. And this is the wonderful glory of this. And then we see. Here, Prabhupada is making in this purport, what is the line, just like he's talking about Narahari, and who's his devotee? Lochan Das Thakur. And Lochan Das Thakur, if anyone has the opportunity to read Chaitanya Mangal, I recommend that you have the opportunity to read Sri Chaitanya Mangal. Very beautiful, very very beautiful book. In there's some very, very, not covered by Chaitanya Bhagavata, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In fact, there's one very, very intense discussion there in Chaitanya Mangal between the Lord and Vishnupriya, just before he takes sannyas. Very, very intense. The Lord is discussing with Vishnupriya why he has to take sannyas. So these are the personalities. This is the mercy. They're getting the mercy and they're writing their realizations and giving it to others. And they're appreciating. So should we not? No, we should also. We should also know how to appreciate. We should also know how to follow in the footsteps of these personalities that are being described here in these books. And then we get to hear. Then when we sing the songs of these personalities, then we understand. Just like Govinda Das, Bhaja Hare Mana, that we sing. Of course, nowadays we see that devotees, they don't practice these bhajans as much as they used to. We encourage you all to try. I remember when I was young and practicing, when we first became devotee when we were young. Then we were part of the Sunday school at South London Temple. That's the first temple we became part of. And Jai Govinda Prabhu, who's now Kadurma Bihari, and Sakiras Prem, they were the ones who were preaching at that time. There. And they trained us in everything. They trained us in deity worship, they trained us in dramas, they trained us in practically everything we know. We did Bhakti Shastri when we were younger, learning verses. And they also trained us in the bhajans. And in those days, then devotees always used to know all of these bhajans. Now, less. There's devotees who don't even, and they've been in the temple for years, and they don't even know how to sing Gaura Aarti. I'm not going to ask you all if you know the words of Gaura Aarti, because of course, you know, it's not very difficult here in this temple, but there's very few. Someone's asked to offer Tulsi Aarti, you know, you've been chanting, you've been in the temple, do you know how to offer Tulsi Aarti? Do you know the 10 offenses? Just like in Leicester, Bhakti Charamaraj is giving initiation. And then he was asking, how many of you know the 10 offenses, those who are taking initiation? And there was, I don't even think one person raised their hand. Taking first initiation, you don't know the 10 offenses. Now we may smile, we may laugh, but actually, why? Because we're not appreciating the morning program. We're not appreciating what Prabhupada has given us. It's described in Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion that there are 64 upacharas. 50 of those 64 upacharas, one covers in just the morning program. 50. So you only have then 14 left to do. That's how intelligent Srila Prabhupada was. That's how much of a genius he was. He understood in Kali Yuga what, you know, people are like. So he created the morning program so that we cover everything that we need to cover, all the essential principles of bhakti. So that's the acharya. That's what the acharya is doing. He's taking all the essential principles. Nana sastra vicharane, sadharma samstapako, vande rupa sanatana, raghuruchu, shi jiva gopalako. So the Goswamis, they've taken all the essence and they've given that. And then Prabhupada has taken the essence of that and then he's given this. So whatever is mentioned in these books, that's the essence of everything. We take it seriously, we become serious. We don't take it seriously, then what happens in our spiritual life? We don't absorb the mercy. If we don't absorb the mercy, how is our bhakti lata growing? How will it grow? It won't grow. There's no opportunity for it to grow because we're not able to know how to absorb. So this is the wonderful situation that we're here in. Such dynamic work being done, just like I was looking outside on the desk, all of the array of preaching that is going on here. But generally speaking, you see that it's only being managed by a handful of devotees. So now we should look and see, how can we help? How can we support? Instead of saying, oh, you know, oh Prabhu, this needs, yeah, these things can be adjusted, you know. But how can we support? How can we build? How can we expand? That should be our, how can we expand our personal application? How can we also expand the mission? That should be our prayer. Because otherwise the mercy doesn't flow. It just stays. And then if the mercy is not flowing, the creeper, as we already said, the creeper, and it doesn't matter what position you're in. Chaitanya Charitamrita is throwing all of your excuses out of the window. In Bhagavatam we can understand, okay, you know, there are kings, there are sages, you know, so they're up there. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, all your excuses are out the window. Why? Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Joe Bloggs is able to do it. Of course, these aren't just, you know, ordinary personalities, but we have to also understand that in their position, that their life is more complicated than our life. It's not like they have an easy life. It's not that they're any less busy than us. You know, of course, sometimes devotees will always think we're so busy. No. Yet, they're able to. Why? Because they know. They know how to manage perfectly. They're that Krishna conscious that they know how to manage. When you become Krishna conscious, you know how to manage everything. That's why then we have the acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakura. We're able to then see how he is able to manage everything perfectly. Why? Because he's so focused. So these personalities, because they're so focused, then Mahaprabhu can give them direct. And then just let them go. Because he has full faith and full trust in them. When Krishna has full faith and full trust in the instrument, then the instrument becomes so powerful. But if the instrument, because that's what we are, we're instruments, if the instrument has an independent desire to do something different, then, because we're only instruments, that's all we are. If we understand that, we become comfortable in that, we become appreciative of that, then we want to be used as an instrument. Just like in August 14th, we'll be celebrating the advent of Prabhupada boarding the Jaladuta 50 years ago. And so then when he comes into Boston Pier, then in that beautiful prayer, Markine Bhagavad Dharma, then he's just making that one in the last stanzas, he's making that point that, my Lord, you know, as you so like, you fulfill the purport of my name. I've been given the title Bhaktivedanta, but you fulfill that purport. Make me dance, make me dance. I'm your puppet, make me dance. That is an instrument. Prabhupada knowing his position, that's the position we have to follow. We follow that position, we become glorious. We don't follow that position, we miss the point completely. So, it is our good fortune to be able to take part in the branch of the Chaitanya Tree, which is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. As Prabhupada said, it is the branch of the Chaitanya Tree. And Gaura Leela is continuing to this day in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So let us continue to be part of that pastime as opposed to a spectator. So we'd like to ask any questions or comments.